We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're gonna play on and stand strong. With Jolo and Dibs, turn the game on. Pump up the volume, it's time to play ball. With Jolo.
Yes, sir. Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game, coming in hot. Not necessarily hotter than a baked potato in the oven in the South in the summer, but still hot. Happy to be with you today. Thank you for spending some of your time with us. It's Wednesday. We're stacked. Time to start getting ready for Cincinnati. We will do that in an hour with Randy Cross, the three-time Super Bowl champ. We're also going to speak on Johnny Cueto and all the good stuff that happened at Oracle last night. John Morosi is joining us in 30 minutes at 6:30. Mike Silver with perhaps the story of the day at 9:05. Michael Silver, NFL Network at 9:05. And a reminder, Lowe's good friend, John Lynch, 8 o'clock tomorrow. You got anything for him? You can try to grab a coaching gig?
No, I'm going to get on him. John, you know, the last 2 weeks ago when I was out at the ballpark, ran into his wife, and we had a great conversation on the sideline. Still no John. And so I know she told him about it. Linda, she loves me. They just moved down here the first year they're here and brought the kids up. His son's at Stanford. So I had some words for him. Me and Linda, we were talking more than me and John. So I'm on to Cincinnati, guys.
Nice.
I'm on to Cincinnati.
That friendship's on rocky ground,
It really does. It feels as if that is the case. You know a guy that you know for over 30 years? And, you know, don't get phone calls. He calls me one day. Him and Peyton's hanging out last year. And, oh, me and Peyton, we're laughing, talking with you, thinking about you. They call me feeling a little no pain. No call back again. I call back. Hey, guys, what's trying to get him? Got low on no mind.
The Ricky Jackson poker game all over again.
Yeah, it really is, Joe. So I got some words for him.
Man, it's tough when you have that feeling that you're on the outside looking
in.
Yeah, you know
it really is, yeah. Daniel. It really is.
That's been the majority of my childhood social life. It's always feeling like it's a four-person group and you're the fifth guy.
But the good book tells me to pray for those who despitefully use you, so I'm just going to pray for Johnny.
Amen, brother. I appreciate that.
All right, so it's John Morosi at 6:30 in 28 minutes, Randy Cross at 7 o'clock, Mike Silver at 9:05, and tomorrow, 8 a.m. sharp, general manager of the San Francisco 49ers, former friend of Lorenzo Neal, John Lynch, will join us to talk maybe a little football, but mostly the friendship with Lo Neal. That's what we want to bring him on
for. And maybe
for.
We can get Linda on at 8:30, and actually somebody who wants to talk to you. You know, maybe we can book her tomorrow as well. So there you have it.
Linda Lynch at 8:15.
There you go.
It's a marketing exclusive. Jeez. All right, so last night I'm watching Johnny Cueto, and I'm thinking this is perfect for us tomorrow. We're going to be getting ready for the Cincinnati game. We've got plenty to talk about with the Niners. We had some stuff in the post-show meeting yesterday that was going to make it on air. We're stacked. We're good to go. And Cueto's dealing. And don't worry, we're going to be talking plenty of Johnny Cueto. He looked awesome last night. All five pitches. Fantastic. One hit, no runs surrendered through five innings as the Giants hold on to beat the Pirates 5-4. But that's coming up. The story of all stories is once again Antonio Brown. This time he's in the news for something he probably wasn't trying to get in the news, unlike all of his other stories. The headline from ESPN, Antonio Brown accused of rape in civil lawsuit. I'm going to read just from the beginning of the article. Antonio Brown has been accused of sexually assaulting his former trainer, according to a lawsuit filed Tuesday in the Southern District of Florida. In the civil lawsuit, a copy of which was reviewed by ESPN, Brown's former trainer, Brittany Taylor, accuses the newly signed New England Patriots receiver of sexually assaulting her on three separate occasions in 2017 and 2018. Quote, "We are aware of the civil lawsuit that was filed earlier today against Antonio Brown, as well as the response by Antonio's representatives," the Patriots said in a statement on Tuesday night. "We take these allegations very seriously. Under no circumstances does this organization condone sexual violence or assault. The league has informed us that they will be investigating. We will have no further comment until that investigation takes place." It's like, what do you even do with this? what do you even do with this? Every day it's something with this guy. And now this is an extremely serious charge. Now, his lawyer in Florida, they're already filing a countersuit against this woman. This is not going to go away quickly, in my opinion.
Yeah, this is just another Tony Brown saga. This is a lot different than football. You know, I think that you're talking about potential rape or allegations. We don't know. There's allegations out there, but this is horrible. This is not football. This is a lady. This is a man. Something happens that is intolerable. So anytime you're talking about rape, hopefully this all can be resolved and be solved. Football is one thing, but when you're talking about this, it's a very, very sensitive and very, very tough subject.
What do you think the Patriots are thinking right now? Are you going to play him this weekend?
Well, it's a tough choice because you can maybe have him be placed on the commissioner's exempt list where he still gets paid, but he's basically suspended and he's ineligible to play. Or the Patriots can just outright cut him based on the conduct detrimental clause or other clauses. But you look at the incident and if you start to look at the details and the backstory of the relationship going back to Central Michigan in, I believe, 2010, when he was leaving, going to the NFL, and she was a young student there, they've had a long relationship, not a romantic one, at least according to the victim in this case. So there's a lot of details that have to get sorted out. But on the surface, the allegations, what the woman is alleging that he did, I believe, 2 years ago, it is truly troubling, and it's something that either the Patriots are going to have to face up with or the commissioner before he even plays this weekend.
I doubt that, though. I just think that, you know, this is a horrible, horrible incident. And you want justice. You know, this guy's been troubled. Football, like I said, is one thing. But now you got to realize two people's lives at jeopardy here. This is credibility. This is integrity. This is, those things that are very, very different than any football game. This is life, for this young lady, her credibility, her character. And this is someone's daughter. This is a man. This is a woman's daughter. This is horrible allegations. And also you got to look at it, even though Antonio Brown, how crazy and how trifling that he was. He fooled everyone and all those things. We got to look at this thing, too. And, you know, I think that you see him filing the lawsuit. There's two sides to every story. I hope to God, you know, you just want justice no matter what. No, this is not someone a side that you're on. This is just about finding out the truth. It's just, you know, three times, you know, allegedly this has happened. There's definitely going to be some eyebrows are going to be raised that three times that you come to a place when you know someone's doing something to you. So there's going to be both sides, guys. I just, you know, right now it's too early for anyone to speculate who's did what right now.
I mean, you can't proclaim innocence or guilt on anybody in this situation right now because we don't have enough evidence. It's he said versus she said.
But yet again, this is him again in the media for the wrong reason.
Here's what I would say to that, okay? He's either guilty or he's not. And if he's guilty, he should be behind bars. There's no one that's going to make any case that you see what I'm getting at.
Totally.
Yes. You're guilty of what you're being accused of here. Go behind bars. No one wants to hear from you again.
I agree.
If you're innocent, you are making too much noise. You have become a target. That's what this is. You are one or the other. You are guilty. And if you are guilty, we're all in agreement. Put him behind bars for a very long time. If you are innocent, I'm not saying some of this is on you because it's not, but you make so much noise. You are always making noise. It's not a good thing. You think it's a good thing when everyone's following you on social media, when everyone's liking your videos, and you've got this great video of the moment the Raiders release you, you're running around in the backyard. Anyone who's ever seen American Gangster, Denzel Washington playing Frank Lucas, right? And Frank Lucas is flying under the radar. The DEA, the FBI, they are not interested in him. Until his wife buys him this mink coat, they go to this title fight at, I believe, Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
And the FBI is there taking photographs of criminals or people that they were perceiving to be criminals ringside. And here comes Frank Lucas shaking hands with them. And the FBI is like, who's this guy in the mink coat? Now, all of a sudden, they're looking into the guy in the mink coat. And Frank Lucas catches wind of it. He broke his one rule. He started being flashy, sitting ringside, wearing this mink coat, and he got on everyone's radar because he was making too much noise. Antonio Brown, if you're innocent, you're making too much noise. She probably looked at all this if you're innocent. Again, if you're guilty behind bars, I'm just looking at it from both ways. If you're innocent, and this happened years ago, and she chose now, you think she chose now just randomly? You're the biggest name in sports right now because all you're doing is causing headlines.
Agreed.
So it's not to say right or wrong. It's not to talk about whether anyone deserved anything. Don't misinterpret any of this.
I understand.
You're guilty,
what you're
you go behind bars. If you're innocent, quiet
down. Stop making so much noise.
Because you're right. If he is innocent, the timing of this is extraordinarily coincidental then. So the day after he gets out of his bad Raider situation into his Patriot situation, now this is going to come out. It doesn't necessarily mean that she's lying or that he's guilty either way. Ultimately, Lowe's right. It's he said, she said, and there's things that she said to his chef, by the way, who surfaces again in this story. She reportedly told him at the time of the things that were happening. But until this gets sorted out, I don't know from a Patriot standpoint if you could have him on the roster or if the commissioner is going to step in.
As the world turns with this guy, world turns. All right, Michael Silver, NFL insider extraordinaire, is going to join us at 9:05. We'll ask him about that. He also had some very, very interesting comments regarding Jimmy Garoppolo and his future with the San Francisco 49ers. We're going to play that for you next and react. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
From the 558 or the 559, good morning, Lowe and Dibs. Not you, Joe. Hey, did you all know that the A's returned the favor and kicked the Astros expletive last night? Yeah, I bet on them. I bet on them.
Two football games.
The A's are a resilient team. 22-5 over their last 27 when coming off a loss. They don't lose two in a row all that often, and now they're 23-5 over their last 28 when coming off a loss. I'm just interested to see what's going to happen today. You score 100 runs over two games and two blowouts like that. I'm not sure how you settle it today. You might as well.
Get it on, baby. Get it on. About two football games on. 120 last night, 23 days put on. Night before, 15, me and Joe.
Yeah, Houston, five field goals. Got to credit the kicker. Five field goals and a 15-0 win, and then you come back and lose 21-7. Couple of red zone touchdowns for the A's. You know,
Dolphins should hire them to play football for.
Seriously.
Yeah, you know.
They're scoring more.
Hey, you know what? Maybe the Bears should maybe get their offense.
Right.
Huh?
Bears.
The Bears. Three
Bears.
Points.
Yeah, well.
Three, Joe. Three.
Sorry, Trubisky.
Game.
But, yeah, you might hire the Astros to start playing offense for you. While we're at it, big round of applause for our friends to the east, the country of France, today. There it is.
Why?
The French defeated the Americans in the FIBA World Championships. It's the first loss in how many? 58 international basketball games in a row.
It's the quarterfinals, too. So the U.S. doesn't even get to play in the always popular third place game to try to get the bronze. No, you're going home, Greg Popovich and Steve Kerr on the bench as well. But USA, act like it matters to you. You got motorboated in China. It's a Chinese motorboat.
Wow.
France, too much
Chinese
for him.
Chinese motorboat. Overwhelmed by the French. Frank just overwhelmed.
Lilikina was too much for him. And the Stifle Tower, Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, just loaded with just an all-world team over there in France.
But honestly, though, it tells you, though, even though it does tell you like that the other countries are coming up. That not, of course, we should have beat them and could beat them, but it does go show you that, hey, look, the disparity's not that far off if you're not playing at a high level. That should be alarming.
Coach, they're French. Shouldn't lose that game. Shouldn't lose it to anyone.
No.
You can't hand me another country and be like, you know, they're going to be a tough out.
Coach, they're France.
Canada invented the game, and then we stole it, and we made it better. You still got an all-world team over there. Donovan Mitchell's on that team.
Yo, Canada won the NBA title. Okay.
America won the NBA title. It was just America's affiliate to the North.
Great call. I don't know how many Canadians they had on the Toronto Raptors. I'm not sure if Kawhi Leonard is Canadian or if Pascal Siakam is Canadian.
All the awards, all the major awards this past year all went to international individuals.
Yeah.
So jokes aside, the team was Toronto. The MVP was Greek. And the general manager of the year was
Masai Ujiri.
And you told me,
So it's quite the global game. So congratulations to France. And for the Americans, shake it off. It's okay. You know, no shame. We've actually lowered the bar to the point where we don't even get all that upset like we did back in the day when Marbury and Iverson and those guys lost in the Olympics. So there's
maybe
that.
That's you, Coach. I'm furious right now. Furious.
Heads will roll. What is your anger level right now?
It's probably a 6.
Out of 10?
This is an embarrassment. To lose in the quarters and to lose, by the way that they did. I watched almost the entire game, sadly, as it just concluded. Up 7 in the fourth. You finally had taken control. And what?
They blew a 7-point lead?
They're getting blocked. They're getting blocked.
Lowe's watching it right now.
Of course.
The Frenchies were blocking them.
We got Marcus Smart guarding Rudy Gobert in the post. He's given up 7 inches, and the Stifle Tower was owning him. Mitchell getting swatted by his teammate at the cup. Coach, this is embarrassing. There are very few things that we can really hang our hat on And USA basketball is supposed to be one of them. Women's soccer, USA.
We got that.
Yes, we do. We don't have the men, but we got men's basketball. We used to anyway.
Well, that's it. So it's women's soccer and then...
Man. That's it.
Certainly not tennis. At golf, it always comes down to the Ryder Cup. That hasn't really gone our way all that much lately.
No. Shout out to Solheim Cup. Stacey Lewis out with a back injury.
They got lost by 10, Dibs. They got smacked, Coach.
They got boated, Coach.
He's watching it over your shoulder. Yeah. Dibs, I don't know if you saw this. They lost by 10.
Watched every play, Coach. Anyhow. Let's talk about something positive.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I don't have that for you either. So yeah. Michael Silver is going to join us today at a little after 9 o'clock, 9:05, NFL Insider. Whatever you think about Silver, Silver's not a hot take guy. He's not a throw poop against the wall to try and draw attention guy. He's a longtime reporter. The guy's connected, and the guy speaks with a certain level of authority. He's been around. He's not just going to throw stuff out there to draw attention to himself. He's a professional. So he is on the NFL Network yesterday being asked about Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners. Take a listen.
Jimmy Garoppolo, you saw the touchdown. He also threw a pick six. You know, rough moments in the preseason. He's coming back from the knee injury. Guys, keep an eye on this. Nick Mullins is Kyle Shanahan's type of quarterback. He is almost a savant when it comes to understanding the offense. He really, really executes it in a way that Kyle Shanahan likes. If Jimmy Garoppolo struggles or continues to struggle and they're either losing or he's not playing well or both, I don't think it's that far-fetched that they could make a quarterback switch earlier than some people might imagine.
Here we go again with this. Now, he said that to us before, and again, I don't think he's saying that to get attention. He's good at what he does. He's saying that because he believes that, and he's probably talked to people who are very well-informed who have suggested that as well. What am I supposed to make of this? What does this look like? Or should I just say it like this? Today's Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet. Will Jimmy Garoppolo start all 16 games for the Niners this season?
I believe he will, and I don't think that it's as close as Mike was indicating, but I know Lowe does, so I'll leave that part of the argument for Lowe because he made this case before Michael Silver, and I don't necessarily know if he's wrong. Time will tell. For me, you look at a guy 7-2 as a starter. He was not spectacular against Tampa Bay, but you won the game. He goes to Cincinnati, even if he loses and he has the same kind of performance, I don't necessarily think it's time to think about the switch or think about the panic button because, in my opinion, once you make that switch, you can't go back unless there's an injury.
All right, you align with Silver on this, or at least that thought, that if Garoppolo does not play well, if the performances do not pick up, or the team starts losing, that the team may be inclined to go with Mullins because they like him.
Yeah, not just that they like him, it's just because mechanically and maybe Jimmy G isn't throwing off his back foot and maybe he can't get through because of the knee. Jimmy G can play quarterback, guys. We know we've seen him play at a high level, and that's what earned him that contract that was just ungodly and a massive amount of money off of 5 games. He won 5 games and beat 2 playoff teams, so he got paid. Was it a small sample size? Yes. I just think the biggest thing, Joe, is you, like you alluded to several weeks ago when we had this discussion, you talked about the GOAT, the greatest quarterback of all time, Tom Brady. And you
sure that was me?
I'm positive. And
I'm not.
No. I know I am, and I think Dibs would chime in too. And Joe alluded to that, hey, this guy, when he blew out his knee, the next year he came back, wasn't as effective as he usually was. Talked about, Carson Palmer came back the same way, didn't do as well. You look at Carson Wentz, didn't do as well. So this is something that this is not a Jimmy G thing. This is a health issue that a lot of quarterbacks struggle after they come back. So if he struggles, I don't think that it means that he's not going to be here. I think it just means, hey, look, they believe they can win now. They believe they have enough talent to win now. So if they did decide to go in that way, I wouldn't think that it means the end for Jimmy G. I just think it's a matter of health.
I don't get that. I see what you're laying that out. Why would that be a thought process? We're so good. Suddenly we're so good, and it's so important to win right now that if Garoppolo's the weak link, we're going to bench him or we're going to go with Mullins.
Well, you saw it happen in Philly, Joe. It's the same thing that you...
Foles had won them a Super Bowl, though. That's a little bit different. Mullins is a nice guy, and I'm sure, and he's shown some talent, but he's done nowhere near what Foles has done. Foles had years of starting experience and had just won the Super Bowl, so they felt confident in moving over to him. If you move to Mullins, I'm with Dibs. If you move to Mullins, you're done with Garoppolo. He leaves after this season. You don't bench him and then go back to him later. That's why I think this is the year. Let him have the entire year no matter what. no matter what. Give yourself enough. We keep talking about sample sizes with everything. The sample's not big enough. The sample's too big. The sample's adequate. Well, you know what? Get yourself an adequate sample. Give them enough games. Give them 16. What's one more losing season, right? In the grand spectrum of Niner football, what's one more losing season this year?
But what if at the end of the year you see the guy and you're like, man, okay, now you see him running and he looks more mobile and you see him getting through. And then you say, that's why I'm in the camp to say, wow, here's a guy now that even next year, if you go in, you have two healthy guys and he looks that much better because of that year. Then you're saying, why would you give up on? And so I'm just talking about from a purely health situation. I think the mental aspect and the health aspect of the situation may deem that they go in another direction.
It may deem that. And I think it would take a mighty struggle for me. Anyway, if I'm in Kyle Shanahan's seat, you know, just the opening performance, I think you look at it and you say the pick six was ferocious. He missed on a couple throws, but by and large, he was all right. I think you would give Jimmy G a C, maybe not C minus. You wouldn't give him worse than that because they won the football game. Now you look at Cincinnati. If he struggles and then they lose, well, then that's not a feather in his cap. That's going to hurt his case down the road. But for me, it's going to take more than just a few games of him looking rusty and maybe still getting comfortable before I make the switch to Nick.
Is there any chance that this story's out there because the Niners want it out there to see how Garoppolo responds to the pressure? Like, for example, you start telling some reporters, hey, you know, if he doesn't perform well enough, we're not completely sold on him. We will go to Nick Mullins. We like Nick Mullins. Story gets out there. People report on it. Guys like us talk about it. It gets back to Garoppolo. Now Garoppolo starts feeling the heat. Now you can see how he responds to the pressure. Is there any chance that that could be the reason why we're hearing this?
I think so, too. And I think that you look no further than where Jimmy G came from. Came from New England. Tom Brady heard footsteps. Tom Brady said he didn't necessarily want him there because of the fact he was breathing down his neck. When it's like that, you look at, I told you when Philadelphia, you had Carson Wentz, you had those two quarterbacks and Nick Foles. Yeah, Nick Foles was a good backup piece. Let's just be real. Who was Nick Foles? Nick Foles thought about quitting the National Football League. A guy was thinking about he was done. They talked him out of coming out of retirement. So the guy sat there and he was holding the clipboard. Comes in and gets a new leash on life for the love of the game. And then all of a sudden he goes and just tears it up. There's a lot of backups in the National Football League. You don't even know their name. That's why they're backups. But then once somebody goes down, you want to make sure you have a serviceable one. Nick Mullins right now is just a backup. There's a lot of guys who's backing up Aaron Rodgers. You look at who's backing up the different Mahomes. Look around the league. They're just good guys, good, solid backup guys. There's no one really threatened. But you see in San Francisco, because of the lack of play at a high level with the starting quarterback, people are talking about the backup.
All that good stuff brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. The future of Johnny Cueto, as well as what to make of all the personnel changes that took place with the Giants organization yesterday. That may have slipped past you. I wonder if it was by design because Cueto was making his return. We'll talk to John Morosi about that next. But first, here's Stephen Langford. English, not French, so don't give him any credit for the FIBA win over the USA, with what's coming up on the game.
What's coming up on the game is sponsored by Nutrisystem for Men. It was reported this morning that Raiders rookie safety Jonathan Abram was put on injured reserve and will miss the rest of the season with torn rotator cuff. Will the Raiders make any moves to replace him this year? Will Bonte Steiny and Guru ask Adam Kaplan at 11 o'clock? 49ers running back Tevin Coleman has a high ankle sprain and will miss a few weeks. How will this running back core fare without Coleman and respond? Well, fellow running back Matt Breida will join the Damon Bruce Show with Ratto and Kolsky at 3 o'clock. And remember, you can take 95.7 The Game on the go. Download the radio.com app and favorite 95.7 The Game. Johnny Cueto gave up only one hit in five innings in his first start back after having Tommy John surgery. The Giants did come up with the 5-4 win over the Pirates. And what's the future for Johnny Cueto? Find out from MLB insider John Morosi next. Lose weight eating the food you love. Now save $50 plus get a week of protein-packed shakes free at Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. Call or see website for details. Coming up next, MLB insider John Morosi with Joe Lowendibs. I'm Stephen Langford, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
To the Dialpad guest line we go. All guests appear on the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across existing devices. MLB insider for both Fox Sports and the MLB Network. He is the best in the business. John Morosi with Joe Lowendibs on 95.7 The Game. John, good morning and thank you for your time. Let's start with this. What did you think about Johnny Cueto last night? 13 months since he took the mound. He looked pretty good, don't you think?
Excellent. Impressive. I thought in many ways, guys, and good morning. I thought for the Giants, you consider what a transitional year this is in so many ways as the Giants get ready to certainly see the final last couple weeks of Bruce Bochy's career and hopefully getting that 2000th win here shortly. But I think to kind of tie a bow on the season by getting Cueto back on the mound was really important. I thought he looked really good, efficient. The pitchability is still there. I think the stuff was maybe better than I even expected it was going to be for him, just from a standpoint of the movement. So I think for a lot of reasons, the Giants have to be very pleased about Cueto's outing last night. And really, I think it allows them to make some different decisions and plans about the coming year than if they had not yet seen him back healthy on the mound. So I think for many, many reasons, guys, a very good sign for the Giants last night.
And when you talk about those decisions, John, does it mean that maybe Madison Bumgarner is more likely to come back because you've already got Samardzija for one more year looking good, feeling good, Lewis, and Johnny Cueto also apparently pitching well? Does this make you more inclined to bring back Mad Bum?
Well, it's a great question. And I think you look at the Giants right now and where they're at. I believe that they'll make Bumgarner not just a qualifying offer, but a legitimate offer. I think we're going to see it through the lens of the way the Farhan Zaidi evaluates his options and places values on free agents based on where he believes this team is competitively right now. And the fact that we saw the Giants pursue Bryce Harper last winter as aggressively as they did leads me to believe that they're going to be comfortable pursuing Madison Bumgarner and making him a legitimate offer. I think from Bumgarner's standpoint, he'll probably certainly finances are going to drive a lot of the decision, but he'll also be able to make his pick as to where he believes he's got the best chance to win a World Series in the coming years. And I think there's no secret. You think about his roots there in North Carolina. The Braves are a club that I believe that Bumgarner would want to play for. And I think it's going to be a great question to put before Madison. Certainly he won't tell us where he's leaning right now. But if all things are equal and the question comes, if you've got the same exact contract between the Giants and the Braves, he may well choose the Braves because of the geography and because, candidly, the Braves are a better team right now than the Giants. And I think that for those reasons, that the geography, the fact that he's from there originally, and I'm sure in North Carolina, probably a lot of people in his family are Braves fans, it just – the fit is there and legitimate. So I think the Giants will pursue him, but I do think that there's going to be a lot of interest in Bumgarner and specifically from the area of the country where he grew up. I think that'd be a pretty hard offer to turn down if the Braves make him a pretty compelling proposal this winter.
John, will the management grab a skipper first? Will Farhan grab a skipper before he starts acquiring and giving offers for contracts? And if so, how much would this new skipper be involved in the players that they desire?
Well, I think it's an excellent point about this, just how much business is in front of Farhan Zaidi and the Giants this wintertime. I think it's also interesting to note that reportedly yesterday, the Giants also now beginning resuming their long dormant search for a GM. We sometimes forget that Farhan's the president of baseball operations and not the GM. He wants to have a GM. So obviously, Farhan leads all the baseball decisions, and he could probably hire a field manager before hiring a GM. But I do think it makes sense to do GM first, then the field manager. And I think you look at the month of October and the fact that they're beginning the search now, you may even be able to have a pretty good idea as to who your GM is going to be by the early portion of October. And then you start to really search for your manager in the middle part of the month. Once teams start getting knocked out of the playoffs, maybe that opens up some possibilities. The Giants can take their time. You look at how late in the game someone like Aaron Boone was hired. For a job of this caliber and this cachet of the industry, the Giants can take their time on this. This is a long-term play, and so if the guy you want to talk to is the bench coach, the third base coach of the team that's playing in the World Series, take your time. Don't rush into a decision that's going to affect your organization for the next decade potentially because you didn't want to wait 2 weeks. I think that Farhan's going to be patient. There's no reason to rush this thing, but I do believe that he's probably got a pretty good idea of where he wants to go with the GM hire and then collaborate with the GM on where they want to go with the manager hire. And I still believe, as I think we talked about before, I think Raul Ibanez's name is going to be big in this search. He worked far on with the Dodgers, still working there now. The Dodgers, of course, just wrapped up their seventh consecutive NL West championship. I think there's a lot to be said for familiarity, and it would not surprise me at all if Ibañez is one of the finalists there for the manager spot, and if also the GM job goes to someone who Farhan's very familiar with as well from his past work either in L.A. or Oakland.
John Morosi with us here on 95.7 The Game. I got to ask, it's outside of the Bay Area, but how surprising was it that the Red Sox fired Dave Dombrowski less than a year after they won the World Series?
Well, it was surprising, the timing, I think. You know, when you look back at the season and how it's played out, I understand the logic of why they did it, that Dave Dombrowski is a really great GM to have when you're going for it and spending a bunch of money and kind of a freewheeling, high-stakes type of a cycle for your organization. But as soon as the money starts to get a little too big and you start to want to build a sustainable club that doesn't quite cost you as much money, then you probably need somebody else. And I think that's exactly what the Red Sox did. The timing of it was odd. They announced it in the early morning hours, just after midnight, Monday morning. So Sunday night and a Monday after a nationally televised game on ESPN. That was strange. And that's the timing of it is what I don't quite understand. But the overall decision is very defensible. And I think that they've got a great field manager in Alex Cora. They've got a tremendous president of business operations in Sam Kennedy. I think that they just need a new executive to set the course from a standpoint of the culture of the club. And I believe, similarly, as I talked about Farhan with the people that he knows from L.A. and Oakland, I think that we're going to see the next Red Sox president be someone with either strong connections to the organization previously, and that could be one of the people that's already there, Eddie Romero, Brian O'Halloran, as part of that group, or someone who's got a really strong regional connection. Mike Chernoff, of course, is from the Northeast. Mike Hazen is the president of baseball operations there for the Arizona Diamondbacks. So I think Hazen could be in the mix there potentially. Jared Porter, Amiel Sade, a lot of names that we heard. And, in fact, Amiel's name came up with the Giants search a year ago. Amiel is now a highly regarded executive there with the Diamondbacks. So I think those are all names that could be in play. And frankly, guys, there could be some overlap between who the Red Sox are going after and who the Giants go after from the standpoint of who Farhan might want to hire as his new GM there in San Francisco. So a lot of intrigue already and potentially a lot of really high-level jobs available in the industry here over the coming months. So stay tuned for a lot of drama, I believe, behind the scenes there in baseball this next month ahead.
MLB insider extraordinaire John Morosi, Fox Sports, the MLB Network, with us here on 95.7 The Game. John, we always appreciate the time, and congratulations to your young, gritty Wolverines for gutting that one out against Army over the weekend. It's about time someone took down that juggernaut.
Well, there were some nervous moments, certainly in that game, and I thought Army deserved to win it. They were a field goal away from doing that, and I believe Coach Harbaugh, with a lot of work here in Ann Arbor the next week and a half or so to get ready for that game against Wisconsin, I am not overly optimistic based on what I've seen so far. Going on the road to Camp Randall, a tough assignment. So Coach Harbaugh, big week ahead. He's got to get these guys organized on the offensive side of the football.
Good stuff as always, John. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your week.
My pleasure, guys. All the best. Always love talking to you guys. Thanks so much.
Johnny Cueto. We'll get into some of that. Plus, 18 years ago today, 9/11. Something we should discuss next as well. Joe Lowe and Dibs, back in a flash here on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
John Lynch, former friend of Low Neal's, tomorrow at 8 o'clock.
You got that right, Joe.
Yeah. We'll get to Johnny Cueto in a minute, but you got to bring this up every year at this time because it's important. It's important to remember the lives that were lost 18 years ago today. 18 years ago today, September 11th, 2001. You don't need me to get into the details, but over 3,000 lives lost that day. I cannot believe we have hit 18 years. I cannot believe that as 18 years ago. I know there are a lot of tributes taking place. It's been all over TV this morning. I don't really know how to ask questions of other individuals when it comes to this, but I do think it is important to bring up. Just what were you doing that day? You were in the league, so you were at a very, very awkward intersection because you guys were just starting the season that year, right?
Yeah, I think we just had won our second game.
Who were you with?
I was in Cincinnati with the Bengals. And coincidence, you know, the Niners are playing the Bengals this weekend. And it was a Tuesday morning. I remember driving in. And Tuesday's your off day, and you're going to go get some work and work out, do a little extra, watch a little film, do some extra stuff before Wednesday. Wednesday, you start implement the game plan. And Tuesday's was that day that I got ahead of the curve. And I remember driving in and I hear that, hey, a plane hits the one of the towers. But when they're on the radio doing it, it's like in passing. I remember like yesterday driving and listening to it because I was listening to the radio and some music and it just broke in. And then I flipped over to NPR and they didn't know at the time. So it just said like a plane. And it didn't say whether it was a regular little Cessna, what it was that hit the first tower.
Right. At first, you kind of thought it may have just been an accident,
exactly,
like a tragic accident.
That's exactly what you're thinking because it was played like that. And then, God, an hour later, another one, and you're like, man, this, United States is under attack. And you get there, and you just, your mind is going a million miles an hour. And because I played in Tampa, I'm from Lemoore, NAS Lemoore base is in Lemoore. And my roommate, Chris Tolbert, we roomed together at Fresno State. Lemoore's a small town. I was really good with their family. It's Otis Vincent Tolbert, who went to Fresno State. It's Dan Tolbert and Chris Tolbert. So Chris and I are a year apart. He's younger. Dan's a year older than me. And Otis was like 7 or 8 years older than all of us. So he played fullback, was a great athlete at Lemoore High School, and lived in Tampa in the military. He lived in Tampa when I played in Tampa Bay. So I'd go to his house all the time. He lived in Sarasota. And when this happened that day, the next one hit the Pentagon. And Vincent Tolbert was at the Pentagon. And Chris called and said, hey, we don't know what's up with Vince. And I said, Vince, big dude. He's 6'4", 200 and some pounds, dude knew karate. And you just think that he's okay. And hours go by, day go by, and they can't find him. And he was killed in the Pentagon. And I remember it was just like, that now in Lemoore, they got his street there. But I remember just like crying like a baby, just seeing, it was like a brother to me. I'm a guy who I knew my whole life. And he was gone. And a guy, big, strong, and you like, dude, I remember, the Bengals let me leave to go to his, funeral in Arlington. And it's just like, just seeing, it was surreal to, be with the guy who is going to games. You guys hung out and no longer there. So it was very heavy day for me.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. I know that's not easy.
Yeah.
Were you here in the Bay Area when that happened?
Yeah. Doing local radio, doing traffic. And I actually was working next door to Sal Castaneda. At the time, he wasn't at Channel 2, but he was doing Channel 2 from another place here in the city, and he had the best TVs in the studio. So I would go in there in the 5 o'clock hour. We were all doing traffic on different stations, and I'd pop in, and I saw that something had crossed the wire we had back then, really pre-internet, that said there was a fire at the World Trade Center. So I went into Sal's studio to check his TV, and I was standing next to him and our former colleague Ray Woodson, who was also doing traffic at the time, as the second plane hit the tower. And I'll never forget seeing that on live TV because many of the networks were showing live coverage of this fire. And there were reports that a plane had hit the tower, but they weren't totally sure yet. And then you see the second one just come around the corner and slam into the side. And at that point, you knew in real time what was happening because that doesn't happen where a plane accidentally crashes into a building that's already, by the way, on fire. And then immediately you go into news mode because the Bay Area, now you have the airports that are closing around the country and certain alerts that went into place that we had to then report on for people who are living it out here, 3,000 miles away.
What happens? So you're doing traffic is your job at the time, but what happens on a day like that? Are you done doing traffic? Are there traffic reports at all?
Well, the traffic reports center around like the airlines and, you're letting people know that there will be no flights in and out of SFO, Oakland, and Mineta, San Jose. And
but everything changes. Like, I'd imagine sports updates and everything. Like, what were guys who were on air talking sports that day doing?
You just stop. You stop talking sports and you try to just update people on the news and what's going on. You don't just shift into, I guess that was 2001, so you're talking about Barry Bonds, of course. It was all Bonds all the time.
Like all the night shows, I was in college at Penn State, so like we'd stayed up. I always used to watch Kilborn. I was a big Kilborn fan.
Right.
But like Kilborn, Letterman, Leno, they were off the air for a while, and when they came back, they weren't doing comedy. They were having on political strategists, people who could inform the nation about what was next, what happened, what was going on. They moved away from comedy because it was like, how are you going to put on one of these goofy shows given everything that's taking place? Like the entire tone of the country shifted in every regard.
Right.
I mean, sports helped heal. They helped heal. I mean, you'll never forget the greatest first pitch of all time. George W. Bush at Yankee Stadium throwing that pitch out in the wake of of 9/11. Like that to this day is your all-time number one first pitch because of what that moment meant in that city. Rudy Giuliani, America's mayor, present during all that.
It's crazy that you mentioned that it was a Tuesday because we had just flown back from Minnesota on the Sunday because the Caner, Hurricane Gale, had gotten married in Minnesota. Oh. So I brought my baby, who's now at Cal, by the way, my three-month-old baby. We went out to Minnesota, and there's a picture of me and my siblings at Gale's wedding, all with our arms around each other, laughing hysterically. And you see the date at the bottom. It's 9/9/01. It's one of my favorite pictures of me and my siblings. And it's really ironic that we're, you know, 2 days before 9/11. Right. You have no idea what's coming.
No.
We're having the time of our lives in Minnesota at Gale's wedding, which was just a couple days before.
And the crazy thing about that, Dan, you know, we talk about that, but you think about the other planes and other places. That could be you flying back.
Right.
The coach Georgetown, he was supposed to be on that flight that morning, and you know it's
that John Thompson.
Yeah, he even talked about it, and it was just so surreal. You heard Strahan, you know, he was one of the first guys. He was one of the ambassadors of the NFL, and he's like, we can't play, we cannot play. And the guys in New York are like, look, I'm looking out of my window and I see what's going on. I'm not playing football. They don't want to travel. So I remember it was like the whole league was getting together, and it, you know, became, hey, no. We're not playing football this week. We are not going to do it. I thought, you know, that was a great move by the National Football League. And just right then at that particular time, you couldn't play ball.
Right. You guys came off a win. I just checked it. You beat New England in the opener 23-17. And then week two, there was no game. And then you took down Baltimore 21-10. The Natty looking good.
Yeah, we're on a heater.
Yeah, and then
lost. Did you lose 14 straight after that?
No, that was a 6-10 year, Coach.
Oh, that was a 6-10
year. Yeah. They lost at San Diego, then they lost at Pittsburgh, beat the Browns, and then they got shut out by Chicago, and then
Chicago was bad?
24-0, yeah.
2001? I don't know what Chicago
Tennessee, we should have went on.
Pre-Grossman. Those were the years.
We split Tennessee.
Split with Tennessee. Tennessee was supposed to be the second game.
That week we would have beat them. We would have started off 3-0.
Split with Tennessee. That's back before eight divisions. That's before the Texans.
Yeah.
That was the year before. Yeah. 2002 is where the league went to 32 teams and eight divisions.
Absolutely right.
So Cincinnati was in the same division as Tennessee.
Yeah. And we had a chance that year. We were fighting.
You lost by 3-4-1 in three consecutive weeks.
Yeah, we were right there.
Heartbreaker.
Yeah, the idea would be that if you lose all those one-score games, mathematically, you would bounce back the next year to win more of those and, you know, regression to mean. Apparently,
Was this needed?
We're all sharing, aren't we?
We're talking about a particular year. And then you fast forward to go to something even.
Wow.
What am I supposed to do?
Go
backwards?
02 was like the America's Cup. They got boated, lost by seven, boated.
What is this? Lost by six.
They were awful that next year. The Bengals were really bad.
Coach, that was
the worst year Lowe had in the NFL. Not personally, but as a team.
And there's another boating.
You went to the Pro Bowl that year, right?
Man.
The mic comes back on as soon as I mention the Pro Bowl.
No.
Carolina got you 52-31 in week 14. Oh, my.
You got to shake that one off. Just come back. How'd they come back off that?
What are we doing?
They came back. Jacksonville beat it by 14.
Hey, better.
What does that have to do? We were talking about. This thing has gotten derailed again.
The only way you can pivot off the most tragic event in American history is by taking shots at you, I guess, somehow.
You guys gonna miss me when I'm gone.
Of course. That I'll agree with. No jokes there.
It's a fact.
No jokes. I saw the bit. Okay, you know what? Compliment time. Got to build you back up a little bit here. Saw you as I was going to get coffee this morning. You know how the hall's all scary dark? For some reason, the lights are never on in the morning.
Right.
Saw him at a distance looking very much in shape.
Defined.
If I may say. Defined. Very shredded as you were coming back from the morning workout. Congratulations. Kudos to you, sir. Thanks, the hard work is paying off.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That poor furniture is still soaking wet, by the way, out there.
See, that's him.
That is me.
That's not me. That's totally him making that joke.
I had to squeeze it in before the legal.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. It is wonderful to have you with us today. Thank you for spending some of your time with us.
925 Joe, leave Lowe alone. Thank you, 95.
That would be the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795.
408.
Get some Let's value talk about 2002 out of that interruption. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we'll focus on the Bengals 2002 season. What went wrong? Maybe at 9:05, we'll talk to 95.7 The Game football insider Michael Silver about that. We'll also talk to him about the Niners and realistic issues that are taking place in the NFL. But right now, we go to the dial pad guest line. Three-time Super Bowl champ, three-time first-team All-Pro offensive lineman of your San Francisco 49ers, Randy Cross, kind enough to join Jolo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Randy, and thank you for your time. How's life treating you?
Hey, good morning. No problem. Things are going good. How bad could it be? It's the middle of September, and the fall's in full effect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And with that in mind, the Niners were in Tampa Bay over the weekend taking on the Buccaneers. It wasn't pretty at times, but it was a win. I'm sure you gave it a good look. What did you think of Jimmy Garoppolo and the offense in their first game out this season?
It's kind of baby steps, I guess you look at it. I know there's a lot of people that expect, you know, like 24 out of 30 for about 290 and three or four touchdowns. But, you know, I think that's somewhere down the line. I having seen this offense a little bit with the Falcons, it's got some serious potential. I just look at it as you know, you get these wins, you take what you can get. You can't get really too greedy. But yeah, I'll be honest. I think we get so crazy. Wait till Dak Prescott signs this contract and people start losing their mind about how can he get so much money? You know, Jimmy G only got what he got. It was all timing. So, you know, I think what you should do is look at the body of what they're doing as a team more than just a quarterback.
Does fantasy football make it so that's tough for people to do that, Randy? Because all we want to see is stats and numbers and points, yet ultimately Jimmy G is a winning quarterback through week one.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that the truth? And there's a lot of fan bases and a lot of fantasy players that, you know, started him, and right now the first few words out of their mouth is not Jimmy G. But, you know, that just sort of goes with the territory between fantasy football and gambling and all the other things out there around sports these days. Just the basic, let me get the W's, let me worry about winning, you know, let's be successful. It doesn't take a backseat, but it's right there with it.
Randy, they could have Trubisky.
Look on the bright side.
Absolutely. Hey, Randy, what's perception and what's reality when it comes to Jimmy G?
Well, you don't know. You know, you look at his body of actual work, and you know the heck with how many games during his career he started and everything else. Just look at what he's done since he's been a Niner, since he's been with Kyle Shanahan. It's, you know, if you were to grade it, it's an incomplete. You just do not know. Can you extrapolate and say he should be this or he should be that? I guess you can, but I think that's kind of dangerous, and I don't think you should do that. I just think you got to be patient. You got to see what this turns into. I believe it's going to turn into something pretty special. But that's going to take, you know, continuing really nice play from Staley and those guys up front. That's going to take keeping your running backs healthy. That's going to take your toys on the outside, continue to develop. You can't just ride George Kittle for 8 catches every week. That just ain't going to happen.
Randy Cross, three-time Super Bowl champ with us here on 95.7 The Game. To the defensive side of the ball we go. Nick Bosa made his debut. He wasn't going to play every snap coming back from that ankle injury, but he did record, I believe, 4 pressures and a sack. What did you think of the rook in his debut?
Yeah, don't forget that tackle and a half for loss, which is, I think, one of the best things about what D linemen can do and something that system is built for, is getting into the backfield. You know, it's for a part-time player, not bad, huh? I think it's great. You're in Tampa. I've opened at Tampa before. That is some nasty, hot stuff to deal with. And a guy that, honestly, in the last year and a half, 2 years, hasn't played a whole lot of football. I thought that was a pretty good lead.
Impressive performance by the defense across the board. Do you credit that to an improved personnel grouping, or how much of that did we put on the fact that Jameis Winston was like Santa Claus out there, giving the ball away at every turn?
Well, he ended up with 3, and probably put double that in jeopardy as far as the balls are being put where it probably shouldn't have been. It was great to see Richard Sherman get that big play. But you can't count on quarterbacks taking that bad a care with a pick care of the ball. I mean, Jameis Winston is, you know, unfortunately on his way to going down as a pretty abysmal pick in a huge spot for the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. When you look at the Niners and Kevin Coleman went down, high ankle sprain, probably going to be out a couple of weeks. Another McKinnon is back hurt again, knee flared up. Ibrita's kind of injury prone. Do you see this team going out and acquiring another running back, a position that seemed like they had a plethora?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.